Blog Talk Radio. I wonder if he even knows how good his love is. His desire is aggressive, but his touch is gentle and healing. Just a touch, a non-sexual touch, sends warmth through my body. I sometimes feel like I cannot function, and I want to just surrender everything to him and let his touches heal my body, my mind, and my heart. Then I remember that this wonderful feeling should be reciprocated. I touch him in silence, trying to send the message from my heart to my fingertips. I love you so much. I hope that he can feel what he makes me feel, what he has always made me feel, even without words. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. I am your host, Stephanie Wallace, along with co-host Tyson Cherry. And Tyson, I am about to let you in. How are you doing this evening? Oh, come on now. How are you doing this evening, Tyson?
I'm fine, yes.
Good. I had, you know, as soon as the show, it was like 5:59, and then my phone cut off. So that was a little delay in the beginning.
Okay.
How have you been? We didn't do the show last week.
I've been doing fine, yes.
Good.
Okay.
How was your weekend?
I ain't do much, but I forgot I was done on Halloween weekend. Oh, my goodness. And I heard, so I was saying to myself, I was laying in the bed, and I was saying, what is all the radio playing for? People are playing for what? I forgot it was the holiday weekend I did.
Mm-hmm.
I got all of my Halloween, and they were on a Saturday, too.
Yeah.
I figured,
you know, this weekend, because Halloween was on a Saturday, I figured it would get really crazy. But I know my son was out, and he went to visit his girlfriend in the hospital. And I just wanted him to get home, you know, because people act crazy, you know. But
is it me or what? Is it always on Sunday, right? Sunday, it said it was just this year.
Well, Halloween is on any day
Sunday.
Of the week.
Huh?
It's no. It's on any day of the week, you know, because it's the 31st. It's always the 31st, so it's on any day of the week.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you what else I did this week. I had my dance performance.
Okay.
We finally did the show. Tyson, it was awesome. At first, I was like a little, you know, like, I felt awkward. I'm not a dancer. I don't dance. I'm not graceful. I felt awkward.
Yes.
But it was wonderful being out there. The audience was so receptive. And just to be able to share this moment with my granddaughter and to see her.
Where was this again?
Oh, it was at Mount Sinai Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At Mount Sinai. They do, it seems every year, they have a wheelchair dancing class. And, you know, I just so happened to join this year. And I don't really know what made me join, just trying to do things out of my norm. So I, you know, joined the class, and it was wonderful. And the instructor, who happens to be our guest today, she is so warm and so inviting, and she makes you feel like a dancer. You know what I mean? It's like,
I know,
like I said, I know I'm not a dancer, but she's very warm, very inclusive. And you can tell by the people who came back, you know, who are returned to the class, that this is definitely a good thing. So if you guys ever get the opportunity to work with her, we have to do that. So did you hear the poem that I just read?
Were you able to hear it? Poem it was. Okay.
Yeah. I
Yes.
Pardon me?
know you read this, I know from where. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a little inspired piece that I wrote earlier this year. And I've been waiting to use it, you know, because it ties into what today's topic is, which is the importance of touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as people with disabilities, you know, sometimes, you know, well, not sometimes, oftentimes, a majority of the times, our mobility and our dexterity, you know, our ability to move about the way we used to, is compromised. And so, you know, we're not always at full, you know, we don't function at full capacity sometimes when it comes to certain things. And, you know, I especially think about, I'm sorry, go ahead. You were going to say something?
No. I said yes.
Oh, I especially think about people with spinal cord injuries who, you know, are people, you know, who or people who are paralyzed in other ways. And, you know, they don't feel, you know, the way they used to feel and how important touch is. And not even just for people with disabilities, just in general, you know, how important touch is. And me and Diane DiCepolo, that's her name, you know, we had a conversation and she expresses it so wonderfully. So with that, I am going to let Diane in and introduce the two of you. Hold on. Diane?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
How are you? Yes, I can hear you just fine. I want to introduce you to my...
Well, thank you both to Stephanie and Tyrone. Is it Tyrone? Did I say that? Or...
Tyson.
Thank you for honoring me with being a part of this fabulous discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie, thank you for your very kind words. It is very...
Well deserved.
Thank you. So where do we start?
Well, we're going to start with, you know, as we were talking recently, you know, the importance of touch. And one of the things that, you know, I think about when I usually think about people with spinal cord injuries, because I had saw a video once of a man who, you know, found pleasure in somebody rubbing his ear. You know, so this, and I was like, wow, that's, you know, that was very interesting to me, you know, because we, hold on, I'm sorry, I'm having some issues here.
No problem.
I found that very interesting because, you know, we take some things for granted, but if you don't, if you're not feeling in other places on your body, that touch of your ear, of your eyebrow, of your thumb, or wherever it is that you're being touched that you can feel, is very important. You know?
That is a very good point. But taking away total, just on that vein, touch is something that is so powerful with or without a disability. And it is sometimes very, I don't say sometimes, I think it's very lacking, especially in today's society, where we have to worry about so many other things that we didn't have to before. And I came across these observations. I'm not a therapist. I'm not anything, you know, special in terms of education-wise to speak on this, other than I have years of observation with family members that we're all experiencing, both on my side and my husband's side, various forms of disability. So just to back up just a little bit about myself, so that you know where this is going, I am Italian. We are culturally a very tactical group. It is we are comfortable with touch. At least that's what I experienced as a child and in growing up. But going out into the world, one of my first observations were that this was not necessarily the norm and that other people were not comfortable with what I thought was just second nature. It was common for me to just kiss and hug everyone that came my way. And I did not know it because I was young at the time, how that instantly made people feel. Broke ice very quickly. But again, very similar to, you know, we all do this because as children, we don't have that stigma. We run up to people as children. You'll see a baby in your arms. You don't teach the child to embrace you or hold your finger. The child does that instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, why do children like to be held? Because it's touch. So we are kind of born with that, but I think as we mature and society changes our minds, we lose a lot of that. So now you take people that have a disability, and what I observed through family members, I had a father with a spinal cord disease that I sadly witnessed this person that was so loving and tactical and caring to everyone feel that he couldn't give that anymore because of his disability. And how we, in turn, reacted to that. I can honestly say that this conversation is actually really more about what I think I failed at, because I can't redo it. He has passed. If I could redo what the past, I would have given him more tactical love. My mother had a stroke, and that disability showed me something else. On my husband's side, we had a family member who had MS, and she's the first person that actually taught me how to look at a person and not a chair. And what was so brilliant about her, name is Joanne, was that she was able to give to us and touch us, the people surrounding her, so that we could be comfortable with her to touch her back. And she was a wheelchair user for at least 9 years. So all of these life experiences drew me to conclude something through simple observation, which is how powerful and how you can change how someone views you and how you can send a beautiful message in the silent language of touch.
I'm going to get to the next part, but please interject. Okay, I wanted to ask you a question about Joanne. Now, did you know Joanne before she used a wheelchair?
Yes.
Okay, and once she, you know, started using a wheelchair, did you find yourself shying away from her?
No, but I found her shying away from others. We observed how people viewed her.
Okay.
How when you would be out and about with her in the chair, how people would look at her and what this would do to her.
Okay.
But she had the gift of breaking through that. And that is what taught us how to treat her. It was a very unusual dynamic because the learning process, you know, they say professors learn from their teachers.
From their students.
And that's exactly how it was. We were learning from her. She was teaching us. And through all of this observation, this power of touch, of hugging her and being in front of her, and you're saying the touch of the ear, and she enjoyed other things, you know, people doing her nails. It was simple things. And that gave her such joy.
Mm-hmm.
So touch came in many, many ways. But then we also observed how she was lucky enough to have somebody that really cared for her, and how the touch of that person of the opposite sex was able to give her what she desperately needed in the form of touch. And it was wonderful to see and experience.
To piggyback back on it, come with me with Maria. Is her name?
Her name was Joanne.
Joanne, okay. Joanne, I'm sorry. Yes. Y'all observe people, how they will react to teasing.
Wow, I'm so sorry, guys. My phone cut off. I just don't know what's going on today. I'm sorry. Is Diane, are you still there?
Leave off, Stephanie.
You said, and people, she had someone that cared for her, and people were able to get in front of her?
Yes. Mm. Well, she ended up having, you know, I want to say a significant other boyfriend. I don't know what is politically correct to say one, nowadays. And
yeah.
That person gave her that physical touch that was so fantastic. And we saw how it was so beneficial for her to deal with what she was struggling to cope with and how it helped in ways that there was no medication or nothing that could do what that touch did.
Mm.
And
that's
it came
beautiful.
In many ways. So now that was sort of like my training ground. And now I mm-hmm. fast forward to myself. I was, and I say this because it's intertwined, not because I want to talk about myself. I, in having to care for sole caregiver of, you know, parents and what life brings you, I found myself very down in the dumps. So much so that my kids have said to me, Mom, you've got to do something. And I had always wanted to do ballroom dancing, and I don't know what possessed me, but I kind of made a decision to say, well, what would you like to do, ballroom dancing or a psychiatrist? And I thankfully chose ballroom dancing. What I discovered when I did this activity for myself was it put me in front of a human being, and immediately I had to touch a new human being, and I had to move with that person. And the power of those things combined with the music, for reasons I instantly did not know and I didn't care, I didn't worry for 1 hour or however long I was doing the activity.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, a friend of my son's has an accident. He becomes a quadriplegic, and I knew he was very down, and he was, you know, as you can well imagine, a 24-year-old vibrant young man now feels nothing from the breastbone down. And everything that came along with that, including the dynamics of the family. I knew that there was such a thing as ballroom dancing for wheelchair users, and I, you know, just felt like, let me see if I can do this with him. And so I started to learn it, and thankfully my dance teacher, who was certified in this, was kind enough to navigate me through this.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward again, we started something called roll call wheelchair dance. As a result of all of these tragic events on both of our sides.
Mm-hmm.
And what we started was these workshops just to see what would happen, introducing ballroom dancing to people that used wheelchairs. And it was astounding what we observed.
Mm-hmm.
Our motto pretty much says what we observed, hand-to-hand, face-to-face, and heart-to-heart. The transformation in a person's confidence was almost instantaneously when we put them in front of another human being and had them hold hands and make eye contact. And they had to translate through touch, because that was the only way to do it, translate the rhythm of the music. And very quickly, we saw the power in how this activity that is touch-based, because it's full-contact sport in a way, how it boosted confidence, increased all of the positive endorphins, not only in the person in the activity, but their family members.
Oh.
We also saw how the dynamics of the class, because the activity puts you right in front of somebody, the stigma of how to address someone in a chair was gone. Because the activity said, you must stand in front of this person, you must take their hands, and in order to do a waltz, you're going to do this, that, and that. And because you're paying attention to the music, you didn't have to think of what do I say, because the music was the conversation.
Mm.
Communication between the partners was all touch-based. With that said, I have been thinking for quite a while of how ballroom dancing can be a very useful tool to practice for people that are wheelchair users or disabled in any way, to be comfortable with touching other people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because where do you get to practice this, that you feel comfortable and safe? Not many places.
Right.
But in a dance class, it's acceptable. As a matter of fact, that's what
right.
you're there
and
to
expect
do.
And expected. Mm-hmm.
And it's expected.
Right.
So now what the activity does is, for a man especially, it builds dignity. Very easy. It's much easier for a man to address a woman and say, "May I have this dance?" than to introduce another form of intimacy that can be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to interact with a person of the opposite sex. It's built in, and it's all touch-based.
Mm-hmm.
And the
and it's not creepy.
Yes, it's not creepy. And the rhythm of the music dictates the mood. So you can make something romantic or you can make something fun just by putting on a rumba, which would be romantic,
mm-hmm.
or a swing, which would be lighten the mood and fun and energetic.
I'd like to interject right here. I'm
yes.
sorry. Can I? And I'm just using an example of what you were saying from the performance. When you did Raining Men with the gentleman, that was a very exciting dance. It was very exciting. You know, it was very sexy. And then when we did the Shakira number and everybody was out on the floor and it was so fun. And you just grab somebody and you dance with them, and that was a lot of fun. You know, so I see what you're saying by, you know, you change, you know, how the music dictates the mood.
Absolutely. And then look at how rapidly, because you were involved with the performance, and I wish your co-host could have seen this, of how it was like perfectly acceptable.
Mm.
No one felt like they were being groped or any of the negative connotations associated mm-hmm. with touch. Because the activity was in dance, everybody was touching everybody and going from one person to another. Would you ever do that in any other public
right.
setting?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Really, no. And what ballroom dancing teaches both the male and female, standing, sitting, it doesn't really matter. The activity is the etiquette. So it's you're taught to be respectful of the other person. You are learning. You are learning how to approach another person, how to hold them, in mm-hmm. what manner, where, the strength, how little, what is too much, what is too little, very much like the three bears. You know, Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear.
Yeah.
Baby Bear, too soft. Papa Bear, you know, you're feeling like you're roughed around, and you want Mama Bear. You want something in between. And that is what it teaches you. It teaches so many things, and that activity is so wonderful to build up to. And everyone that has tried it, it has strengthened their relationships elsewhere.
I glad you said that, because one of the first things that, you know, we did when I came to the class was you were teaching tango. And it allowed me to dance with my grandson.
Yeah.
And that was like, it meant so much. See, these things are very emotional for me, because
absolutely.
It allowed for that connection with family members.
Yes.
You know, and my grandchildren. My grandson, he's 10 years old, Jacob. And I don't know if you remember him or not, but we even came home showing everybody, you know, how we can dance together. And that just meant so much, because there's so many things you feel like you're limited in doing when you're in this chair. And I never wanted my grandchildren to see me as just grandma in the chair.
Yes, yes. And
you know, or somebody they have to take care of or
yes.
something. So this activity allowed me, come on out there doing hip-hop with my granddaughter. That was
right.
fabulous. That
well,
was fabulous.
You know, Stephanie, I can see how emotional you are over this in a very positive way, and I applaud
mm-hmm.
that, because this is what I am so passionate about this, is because we do this, and when we see that, it's like you can't put a price on that, because we want that to happen, but we never expect it to happen so quickly. People
yeah.
spend years in therapy and don't get the result of what we get in one dance class.
Yeah.
I find that incredible.
Yeah.
And to touch upon that, roll call, the organization and the people involved, there are dance professionals involved. Our dance director is a very talented, world-renowned dance professional. And these are the topics that we go over to improve our programs over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest thing we do is, how do we give people back dignity? How can we do
yes.
this? What do we do to give them? So this is the things that we established. We established, number one, when you come to class, you have to check your ego and your disability at the door. Anybody that comes in, rolling, standing, we don't care, you are now officially a dancer. So no one is looked at as anything other than you're a dancer. They're dressed as dancers, end of story. Some are seated and some are standing. Case closed. The next thing is we ask everyone to just bring a smile. Ask everyone to have fun and be patient. And then we get to the task. And what we see across the board is we build everything up for success. We encourage everyone to tell us what they can do. We are not interested in what you can't do, but we do want to know what you can do. And we
okay.
focus that. Someone will say, well, I can't because of my hand. It's weaker on my left side. No problem. We give alternatives to how to navigate that. So we never say never. We just say you're going to do it a different way. You may
right.
need to take 3 bars of music to do this. We don't care if you need 10. Doesn't matter. It's in the doing. And
I witnessed, and I was so, you know, to see how inclusive and how flexible things were, and how if you had 3 people for the dance, if you had 8 people for the dance, you made it work.
And I
loved it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I absolutely love you. And we have 90 seconds left, so I have to let everybody know Diane will be at the November 13th event, Laid Live, and she will be doing a performance and also speaking on touch for the audience. I really think the audience is going to love this performance. I really do.
Yes.
Well, on that event, I'm planning to not just speak, but demonstrate.
Yes, yes.
Which is what we don't have the luxury on radio, is to actually put the action to work, the words to an action.
Yes, and I think the audience will really love that, and I hope it encourages everybody to get involved into some sort of activity, you know, which, like you said, it the self-esteem, it builds up the self-esteem a lot. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to say good night. Join us back here Monday at 6 p.m. Me and Tyson will be talking about something else. And don't forget about Laid Live at the Access Project at 1325 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan between 111th and 112th. It's from 7 to 9:30 p.m. We look forward to seeing you, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Diane.
Bye-bye. Thank you all.
Yeah.
Bye, Tyson.